You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 79. Now, some of you may remember, going back 16 months, Dave, who was my guest in episode 10. And if you can't remember him, you can go back and have a listen. Now, Dave had a recurring dream right from early childhood about running through a forest full of razor blades. And anyway, we discussed his dream in episode 10 and worked it all out. And then a couple of weeks ago, I heard through a friend that something quite unusual had happened for Dave. So I got in contact and invited him back to speak to us all today. So that's coming up. Quite a stunning interview. I think you're going to really get something from that. Dave has quite a story to tell. And after speaking with Dave, I have two other stories to tell you, which kind of follow on in the same vein of Dave's story. A couple of other things just before we go to Dave. It's our first blog birthday today. Well, as you listen to this on Friday, if you're listening on the day it comes out, the birthday was actually the day before. But I've got a really great announcement to make at the end of the podcast today on some fantastic gifts for you. So hang in there to listen to that announcement at the end. And just one other little thing I thought I'd read to you, a lovely comment from Belinda on our Facebook page, commenting on last week's episode, episode 78 with Dewey. And Belinda put on Facebook, "Awesome show, guys. I admit to tearing up when Jane got to the Dream Alchemy. Wow, now that struck a chord. Anyone else feel it so deeply? Where's the tissues? Really beautiful, JT and Dewey. Magic to follow." So, I thought I'd share that. And any comments you put on Facebook or on the blog, or that you might like to email me from time to time about what you think of the show. And I might just start sharing a little bit more at the head of our episodes. But without any more, let's go to Dave. Welcome back to The Dream Show, Dave.
Thank you very much, Jane Theresa. It's a pleasure to be on the show again.
Thank you. Now it's over a year since you, and from memory, you brought a dream onto the show that was more like a recurring dream theme that you'd had ever since you were, I think it was since you were a young teenager, and it still came back from time to time, in which you were running through forests and it would be like the trees were covered with razor blades.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, and quite a small, actually say teenager, but I actually am sure that I dreamt that dream many years before I was a teenager. But I had this recurring dream that I was running through a forest that was filled with razor blades and the trees were quite menacing and it was quite frightening. Like I was trying to get away from something and quite disconcerting. And people can go back. I'm sure you'll have a link to the episode, which we talked about it at mm-hmm. length.
Yeah, and when we talked about it at length, one of the many levels that we looked at was this feeling that in the dream it's like I'm running away and it's like a really close shave here, literally with these razor blades and the potential for being hurt on the delicate skin. And so one of the kind of levels that we looked at was that the dream may have come up when you were feeling particularly sensitive about what was being said around you or your feelings about what was going on. And the razor blades, to some extent, were symbolizing in your dream that feeling of, oh, you know, I feel got to tiptoe on eggshells here, very going to be very careful or I might get cut and hurt.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's what we talked about. Yeah.
Mm. And what happens? What has happened since? Have you had a return of the dream at all?
I don't think so. I don't think I have. And certainly not this year, which is, you know, the whole, as you know, this year's been fairly tumultuous for me, but you know, it provided a lot of insight into what that dream could mean. And, you know, I think the other thing is too, that I've become more confident as a person. You know, I have, you know, I think you hit your 30s and you start to think, you know what, I am who I am and I'm happy with me. And I don't need to be as worried or concerned about other people around me or what they think or whatever. And I think with that self-confidence comes not a cockiness, but an ability to be happy in your own skin, if you know what I mean. Like, so, but it was really good to get your interpretation of that. But What was more disconcerting than your interpretation was the information James shared with me, that you've been talking to him about my more recent experiences.
That's right, yeah. Because, you know, what you said there is so lovely, and I love that you know, you, as you become older, the dream fades because you become more comfortable in your own skin. And when you're comfortable with your own skin, you neither fear the razor blades of other people's opinions or judgments of you. Yeah. And to some extent, your skin then becomes more comfortable because it's also more flexible. You know, we're softer when we're more comfortable. Mm. We don't have to be defensive or don't you say that about me or, you know, worry. So everything becomes more comfortable. But yes, what happened was that, you know, I heard from James about your skin cancer.
Yeah.
And that, you know, what you literally had to go through was, well, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, in March this year, I was diagnosed with melanoma. So for those people that don't live in Australia, it's more of a prominent thing here. And melanoma is the most severe form of skin cancer you can get. There is a few varieties. And in my other life, I'm actually a registered nurse and a manager in theatre, or I manage 3 theatre complexes. And I've got, you know, this horrible knowledge that comes with that. And unfortunately, I was diagnosed with melanoma, and it was of a significant enough depth of melanoma through the various layers that I actually needed to have it excised. And I actually needed to go back again and have further wider excision and also an axillary node biopsy, which is up under your armpit, and needed a general anesthetic. So I needed sort of one minor procedure and another major, and spent quite a considerable time off work, had various complications that were the unpleasantries of which I'm sure your listeners won't be interested in. But the recovery was about a month, and I do have some residual nerve damage and a few other things from that. So that's what happened to me in March. And, you know, confronted with one's mortality at what I would consider to be a young age wasn't the most pleasant experience in the world.
No, and apart from the you know, slight nerve damage that you've got there, Dave, are you completely clear of the cancer?
Yeah, well, they're as clear as you can be. I mean, nothing's certain when you're talking about any form of cancer, but I got the best result that I could get given the type of cancer that it was. So I guess if that's, you know, the 5-year survival rate looks, and that's how they measure these things, in 5-10 year survival rates, and it's not as good as somebody who hasn't had cancer, but I'm alive and I'll be here for a while yet. So that's good.
Congratulations.
It's good to know.
You've only got to live. What struck me was when I heard, you know, your story through James, and you know, and obviously was really feeling for you and what you were going through, and you know, wishing you a good recovery. I was also thinking, well, isn't that interesting? Because what you were describing there was a cancer, was something that got not only under the skin, but as you've described it, they're actually several layers deep under the skin, but quite intrusive and all the way into the, you know, axillary node under your armpit. Mm. So what you've got there is a sense of something, you know, a skin cancer being the harsh sunlight, in a sense, in a simple way, you know, causing a growth under the skin, which shouldn't be there. And I was thinking, well, that's very similar to the feeling of the razor blade. It's like something cutting and hurting has got under my skin. On one level, something's got under my skin and it shouldn't be there. And on another level, of course, you actually had the surgery whereby, everybody listening, but, you know, blades cut in and went under the skin. But
literally.
Sorry.
Oh, I just said quite literally.
Yes, that's right. And I thought, you know, wait, and you've had a close shave and you're recovered. Yes. But I also thought to myself, you know, as you were processing the things that we talked about, the dream and going through with the awareness, not only of the, you know, the new skin that you were aware of having anyway as you were growing older, but also the awareness of some of the deeper issues triggered by our talk about the dream, you would expect the physical body to follow. So in other words, you would expect anything that has in the past got really under the skin and really irritated you, both in a everyday sense, semantic sense, and in a physical sense, to be discovered and extracted. So my feeling was, when you went through that operation, it was almost a physical mirror of what would have been happening for you emotionally and at other levels following the deeper understanding of your dream. It's that things that in my past have got under my skin that finally manifested as a cancer, you know, because the conditions were right for things to get under my skin, I have now got out, you know, get out of me, cut that right out of me, repair my lovely new skin on top, you know, and, you know, maybe there'll still be some nerve regeneration where other parts will take over to increase your sensitivity there. But I just noticed, and although you had to go through that, kind of applauded the fact that you had got something out that was under your skin and it healed from that. How does that sound?
Yeah, and it's actually when James, because James Williams actually told me that you and he had this conversation, and it was actually when he mentioned it, it was like this bombshell falling, and I just went, oh, "You're right." And it's great to hear your sort of side of it, because I only heard James's. James was like, "You want to be freaked out? Listen to this." And it's like, I went, "Yeah, okay, that sufficiently freaked me out." And Jane Teresa wants to talk to you about it. And I went, yeah, that's great. I'm happy to come on the show, because it really was quite, literally that, oh, wow, I never really thought about it like that. So, yeah, it's interesting. And are you suggesting, Jane Teresa, that the dream could have been somewhat predictive, or you're just sort of saying that that's a reflection of feelings and where I might be psychologically within myself?
Yeah, the second one. And I don't know if this is challenging for someone like yourself that is in the nursing profession or not, but it's that feeling that what is happening for us emotionally and also unconsciously perhaps sometimes reflects in the physical body if we don't address it on an emotional or unconscious level. So that feelings of, as a child, when you went through your childhood, a feeling of being ultra sensitive to people's comments and things, then became in the physical body a sense of being ultra sensitive to the sun, you know, because you're out in the sun. As Australians, heaps of us are out in the sun.
Yeah.
Why did you get the cancer and not someone else?
That's
you
right.
know, so.
Yeah.
And you know, you then come to, I guess it's a little bit teleological, but then you get, well, why? What's the point of that, you know? And on this kind of mind-body level, the point is that we learn to listen to our bodies and say, oh, body, why are you causing me pain in this area of my body? Why have you, you know, why has the skin cancer gone so deep? Why has it traveled so deep? And try to understand what your physical body is telling you about where you're at emotionally and unconsciously, which is, I don't know how that feels as a nurse, and I'm sure you'll have been, you know, talked through this kind of thing before by various people, patients and other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, the part of the thrill of that with working with dreams is that with dreams, you can really look at what is unconscious in a person. You know, we don't know. You didn't know as an adult that at some level, some part of you was still the little boy responding or anticipating hurtful remarks. And so when you learn that in the dream, you get that opportunity, if you catch it early enough in the dream, to make the unconscious changes that do not result in the body having to speak to you, you know. And in your case, the dream had been going on for so long, and then beginning to think about it, you know, perhaps if we hadn't had the dream interpretation, who knows, the cancer might have gone deeper. But you were aware of it, you caught it, you got it out.
That's...
and so
No, look, you know, despite what you, you know, what people might think, I actually do, that resonates, if that makes any sense to you, that really resonates what you're saying. And I'm a firm believer that we can transfer our emotions and our what we think and how we feel to our physical body. Like, I don't really think that the two aren't connected. I mean, why do if they weren't connected, why do type A personalities more prone to heart attacks and things like that, strokes and various other things? I mean, there's definitely a connection between what you think, how you feel and how you deal with feelings, and how you are in your own health and your own body and your own physical state. And I'm a firm believer in that. And, you know, that last statement you made, that was the thing that just, you know, that's so, you know, I felt calm and it made sense. Does that validate what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's beautiful. You know, and because you as a nurse, and particularly in your years in theatre, where you're really dealing with, you know, drastic stuff, you know, you will have made these kind of observations yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and where you see it is you see I say it's quite anecdotal, but I've worked in, before I was a nurse in theatre, I worked in things, places like palliative care and medical wards and surgical wards and things like that. And, you know, you saw people who had a history of being quite bitter and twisted people had none too pleasant sort of end of life experiences. And yet the people who were reported to you to be quite balanced and calm and caring and loving, and they had the most pleasant end of life experiences. And you just think, you know, that we call it karma, but, you know, even in the harsh quantitative measurable thing like theatre, I think, you know, there is some substance to how have you conducted your life and what is the result of making the decisions that you made. So I agree with what you're saying.
That's absolutely beautiful insight, and thank you for sharing that with every listener, because that is just so, that is so deep and so beautiful.
Thank you.
And comes from such practical experiences.
Thank you very much. No, it's a pleasure to come back on the show and share with you my experiences, and I've encouraged a few people to get up the guts to come on to your show, and it's a pleasure to come back.
Thank you, Dave. We wish you well.
Thank you, Jane Teresa.
I'm sure Dave's story is one that you might like to share with quite a few people, people who remember their dreams and people that don't, because there's a lot of insight there to take home and think about. And I thought, following on that theme, I've picked two little blog posts that I've done, actually did towards the end of last year in 2009, that are relevant to the topic. And the first one is called A Tale of Two Snakes. And I wrote this in November 2009. I've just had a coffee with a friend. What is that pendant you always wear? Some kind of totem? She asked, leaning forward to examine the fine detail of the chain that I wear day and night. Two snakes from a dream, I smiled, settling back to tell my story. It all began in the year 2001. Oh, and it also began more than 2,000 years ago. I had a powerful dream in 2001. A huge golden snake opened its mouth and swallowed a huge silver snake, leaving only its tail protruding from its mouth, still very much alive. I watched, horrified, expecting the golden snake to snap shut its mouth and consume its prize. Then I realized that the golden snake was in an equally vulnerable position, because the silver snake could start eating the golden snake from the inside. Then came the greater realization. This was not a dog-eat-dog or snake-eat-snake situation. This was a situation of trust. This dream was about trusting the process of facing fear. As I watched, I noticed I was covered in cobwebs, which I pushed away, emerging into sunlight, like a butterfly, I thought in my dream, from a chrysalis. So yes, snakes are a totem for me. They're a personal symbol for transformation through trusting the process of facing fears at the deepest level. Now let's go back some 2,400 years. To the healing temples in ancient Greece. If you were sick of mind or body in those days, you went to a healing temple to spend the night sleeping in a room filled with harmless snakes. In the morning, you told your dream to your healer, whose job was to interpret your dream to diagnose your situation and prescribe a cure. Shades of my approach, hey? First interpret the dream, then prescribe a dream alchemy practice to create the desired result, the healing. One of these dream interpreters was Hippocrates, the very same Hippocrates immortalized in the Hippocratic Oath, sworn by Western medical practitioners. That's why the caduceus, that symbol of modern medicine, is a snake-entwined staff. Michael surprised me back in 2001 by taking my dream to a jeweler, immortalizing it in white and yellow gold, pure dream alchemy. What's your totem? Where can a little trust take you? Actually, that last sentence was where can a little extra trust take you, so I should really read it right because I'm sure you trust a lot. And the second blog article that I thought was relevant to Dave's theme today was one I wrote in 2009 called Can Dreams Help You to Heal from Disease? So again, I have to correct myself. This is actually an extract from my book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which was published in 2007. And then I extracted this bit and wrote it on my blog in 2009. So anyway, information's the same. Doesn't matter how far back it goes, whether it's 2,400 years or 2 years or 3 years or whatever. Can dreams help you to heal from disease? Most, if not all, diseases begin with the mind. Stress, emotional issues, fears, and beliefs can and do manifest in the physical body if not addressed. When your mind is not at ease, when it is at dis-ease, bodily disease may follow. Since dreams reveal your emotional and mental makeup, they offer an opportunity to understand a disease or illness from an emotional mental perspective. If you are prone to sickness or suffering a disease, look through your dreams for symbolic representations of your physical condition. For example, you might see a balloon about to burst under pressure when you're suffering a headache, a stack of bricks out of alignment when your spine is out of line, a cloudy or murky pond when you've got a bladder infection, an off-key or raspy musical instrument when you've got a throat infection, a blocked road or pipe when you've got a blockage such as a blocked artery or constipation, a toxic waste factory polluting a system when you've got a liver or kidney problem, or an invasion or war dream when you've been invaded by a virus, or when your immune system is fighting an infection. Now, these are not definite symbols with strict meanings, as any of these symbols can come up in dreams that have nothing to do with physical disease, so don't use these to diagnose your physical condition. Instead, use these examples as guidelines to help you identify parts of your dream that seem to mirror your physical condition. Once you've found your personal symbol of your disease in a dream, the healing magic begins with a dream alchemy practice. This is what to do. Visualize the dream situation healing, adding an uplifting emotion. For example, visualize a blocked pipe unblocking and its contents flowing smoothly, feeling the elation of the release. Or visualize the high-pressure balloon that was about to burst, breathing out gently, just enough to relieve the pressure and feel the light-hearted, happy balloon lift and fly. Or visualize the stack of bricks being gently stretched and reset into alignment, feeling the joyous freedom of a new flexibility. Keep up your visualization for several weeks, always making sure to add and feel that uplifting emotion. What you are doing is communicating with your unconscious mind using its own language, the language of your dreams. Your unconscious mind then takes your healing cue and helps heal the emotional or mental cause of your disease by changing the disease-causing beliefs and feelings. Watch your dreams for feedback on your healing progress. So there you go. And through my tongue-tied intro to that dream, as I did remember, that extract is from one of my books. And of course, you can order or buy any of my books from my website. But I promised you that at the end, I would tell you a little bit about some special prizes and gifts that we're giving out on my blog this week, because it's our first birthday. My website's been going for about 12 or 13 years, but our blog, I first blogged a year ago to the day that I'm recording this, which is the day before you're hearing this, if you're hearing this on the day of release. So the blog address, of course, is janetheresa.com. And we're celebrating with a total makeover. So if you've been to my blog before and you've seen the kind of chocolate colour that was its first incarnation, please go and look at all the hard work a beautiful team of people have put in to completely transform and give us a makeover for our birthday. I've put a little birthday video up there. So those of you that only know my voice and perhaps have seen my little picture might like to go and say hello to me in the flesh, you know, moving around in the video. And when you go there, you'll find the competition. Now, there are going to be 5 winners of a prize valued at about $440 each. So it's big prizes. It's an easy competition to enter. And I'm not going to tell you anymore, except that if you love dreams and you love a bit of help with understanding your dreams, you're going to really want to compete for that prize. So 5 big prizes worth about $440 each. And if you're listening to this episode on the day of release, in fact, if you're listening to it any time during the last part of October 2010, go along to the blog, get yourself into the competition. And in any case, just join the community of dreamers there or on Facebook. And that's the other thing that I really wanted to say today. We've also decided as part of our first birthday that we really want to get our Facebook numbers up to 1,000. That's what we're going for, to just extend the beautiful community of dreamers that are already there. And, you know, the number that are there are really lovely, but 1,000's even better. 1,000 of you all talking to each other and sharing what's coming through dream-wise and everything else. And Facebook is the first place to find out what's happening. Yeah, find my page, go along there. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. And remember also, if you'd like to be on the guest of the show, a guest on the show and have your dream interpreted, it is so easy to do. Just email me, say I'd love to come on the show. We Skype or phone you so you can be anywhere in the world and you get heaps out of it and so do our listeners. So that's enough of me today. I'm going to go on celebrating our first birthday. Have a wonderful week and I'll see you next Friday for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.